Okay, we're up to Perek Hey. Yeah, Perek Hey. We are up to V'acharisa Mora Kilana Pasuk Dalet. Perek Hey Pasuk Dalet. Okay, the Pasuk is continuing to describe, to warn us not to stay away from the Isha Zona. To stay away from, according to the Medrash, it means not just the Zona, it means, according to Rashi, it means from Apikursis. Minus. A person's natural inclination, a person's inclination to be drawn after heresy. But Pasuk to review Pasuk Beis and Pasuk Gimel told us Lishma Mizimus, to guard yourself from Zima, from to guard your thoughts, Tadasa Sacha Yin Saru, and to guard your lips that only speak knowledge. And Pasuk Gimel Kinoifes Titoifna Sif Sezara, he was the key pasuk, that honey, noifes is honey, sweetness, drips from sifse zara, from the lips of strangeness. In this context, means from the isha zona. The cholak mishemen chika, her palate, her speech is smoother than oil. If a person will not hold himself back, will not guard himself, and will allow himself to slip down this slippery slope, and will be drawn after the sweetness of the sifsezara, then what's the end? V'acharisa, the end is her end. Mora kilana, lana is a type of herb which is extremely bitter. It's bitter like lana. Chada, and it's sharp. What the punishment is? Kecherf pios, a double edged sword. You cannot guard yourself from. Acharisa means her end.
But we're not interested in her end. We're interested in telling the son to watch.
I think it means the end, your end of dealing with her.
Be similar to hers.
Acharisa means the derech, following down this path will result in bitterness.
Maybe speaking about her herself.
Look at the Mitzudos David, the Acharisa, Aval, Acharis HaPitui. Okay, so the Acharisa means the enticement. It's feminine. Pitui is feminine. The end of the enticement will lead to suffering that will be more like lana, bitter like lana, this herb called lana. Umeimis haniftim kicherf shiyesh b'shneich chadudim mizeh mizeh. And the person will die, the people that have been niftim, that have been enticed, will die by the sword that has a double blade. Shiyesh b'shneich chadudim mizeh mizeh, two blades on each side. Rashi, there is no Rashi in Pasuk Dalet. Let's see. Discuss some of the Mefarshim. Okay, first of all, the Mefarshim explained that here in this Pasuk, Mora Kilana corresponds to the Noifes. In Pasuk Gil, we discussed the honey. So your person thinks that it's sweet. The truth is, it's not so sweet. It's bitter. Not as only is it bitter, not like honey, it's bitter like lana. And corresponding to the smoothness, the chalak, the smoothness of the shemen, of oil, we have another smooth item. But this smooth item is not very pleasant to come in contact with, the smoothness, the sharp, the razor-edged blade of the double-edged sword. Okay, now why do we have over here an image of a double-edged sword? So the Medrash says, because it's telling us that the suffering, the punishment for being nishul narayos, a person loses his portion in this world and in the next world. Suffered two-edged sword. Two-edged sword doesn't just mean that you're one blade. He'll be injured. He'll be damaged, hurt by both blades. Again, one blade is this world, and the other blade is the next world. It's not very. Par lana. The same word there means bitterness. Par rosh flana, the bitter means there as well. The same exact thing, a bitter herb. Okay, here we now. There's another interesting idea I saw. I'm not exactly remember where I saw this. Is that this pasuk is referring to Chava? Chava was the one that indeed enticed and persuaded Adam Harishon to be nichshol in the chait of the Eitz Hadas. So Chava said to Adam, you know, don't you want to take from the Eitz Hadas toy vera? It's delicious. It's sweeter than honey. The words of Chava to Adam were extremely powerful. and they were like words dripping with honey, the cholak mishemen chika. But what happened to Adam? The end was acharisa. By Adam listening to Chava and following her enticement, mara kelana, the bitterness of death.
Her too.
Her end was also death. It was also death. But the death came to the entire world, and mar kamavis. There's nothing more bitter in this world than death. Okay. And chadak cheref pios. Now, what does that mean? The cheref belat hamisapeches. Adam was driven out of Gan Eden, and Gan Eden was guarded with the cherev hamisapeches, a double-edged sword, a sword that spun, which is double-edged. So therefore, it turned around. But there also the imagery is that it was a double-edged sword. So Adam, he was originally in the Gan. Now he was driven from the Gan. Vaygoresh Simon Hagan. He was driven from the Gan, and the Gan was locked. It was sealed with a padlock. Not just a padlock, it had a double-edged sword preventing Adam from entering in. So that was the end of Adam for the reward he got for listening to his wife, Chava. Okay, then it goes on, the Pasuk goes on to say, Raglecha Yordos Mavis. Following this woman, now Yordos can mean, it means different things. The Malbum translates Yordos as Lashon of Moridos. Moridos means brings the person down. Yordos literally means Yordos takes you, takes down to death. But it's as we read the pasuk, the word as if it would say Moridos, her feet will direct. It's a poil called poil yoytze. It's a verb which is being expressed. Her feet, the feet of Chava, will take a person, a man that's nichshol with her, to death, sheol, to the grave, tzehodecha yismochu. This can mean one of two things. Yismochu still means to support. That's the literal translation, not what Rashi says. And tzehodecha means her strides, and sheol is the grave is Gehenim. And then you take these two words together and you translate it loosely, means that if a person will follow a woman, the strides that she takes will guide a person, will bring a person down to the grave. And Yismochu, she will support you in the grave. In other words, her actions will be will give support for a punishment of suffering what comes in the Sha'ol. Rashi is simpler. Rashi is simpler in that he does not take the word literally Yismochu to mean to support, but rather means Yikarvu, means to come close. That a person who follows the advice of the Zona will, the strides, the steps of the Zona will cause a person to come close to the Sha'ol, the grave, or deeper meaning to Gehenim. Okay, let's take a little look at the Mitzvot. The Pasuk says, Raglecha Ratzolaymar, Derech Ragli Hapitui. The way of the feet of enticement, a person goes down this path of being enticed, Mevi Hamis brings death. Yismochu, Toimchem, the Mitzvot takes the word Yismochu, literally means to support. Toimchem, Umachazikim es Hasha'ol, a woman, these women who are Machshul, other people in Znus, they're the ones who are the biggest supporters of Gehenim. They keep it going. You need benefactors to keep Gehenim. You need people to go to keep it going. You don't want Gehenim to go out of business, right? Every institution, every business needs customers. If there are no customers, you file Chapter 11. So Gehenim is always in the green. They're now following Chapter 11 because they are well supported. They have benefactors. There's a clientele. Who is the gets commission? Who's the one that brings in the customers? The Zaynais. Not the Zayn, the Satan, but besides the Satan, the Zayna, this woman, that's how the Mitzvot learns from the Pasuk, Yismochu, they are the supporters of Gehenim. Therefore, you don't want to end up in her hands, because she'll send you to one place. Toimchem u'machazikim es ha-sha'ol, they have a big plaque in Gehenim. There's a big plaque. The buildings are named. You go into Gehenim and you see all the names of the Zaynis. Base so and so.
The ladies' auxiliary.
Their names are plastered on the walls. Toimchim machazikim es hashol sheyi hanifte neifal ba, because they are the ones that are responsible for the clientele of all of these men, these poor unsuspecting men of falling there in Gehenna due to her actions. Can Rashi says something much more similar? Ragalecha yodas moves, like it's the same. Sheol tseodecha yismochu, so do not say yismochu to mean to support, but rather lashon kurva. It's an unusual translation. Her strides bring people close to the grave. They come close to the grave. They come to the shoulders. Also means Gehenna.
Is
now,
that one Yiddish for Zayna Gorva?
Kuna.
A what?
Kuna Yiddish.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's a korva.
I was going to say
a korva.
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
Rashi.
Maybe you're right. Maybe in a chanami. Maybe there is something to it. In a chanami. You know, Rav David Cohen has a sefer on Yiddish, a fascinating book. He made three volumes. It was originally three volumes, small little volumes, and now I saw they put it together into one big volume. He takes all the Yiddish expressions, the most popular Yiddish, and he shows the source where they come from. So maybe this is something very. A lot of them are psukim. A lot of
Yiddish.
Safa HaKodesh, he calls it Yiddish. Safa HaKodesh. It's an impressive book. Critical acclaim. It's a very, very interesting book. So there he has maybe a lot of things he quotes. I remember from psukim. I don't know Yiddish. I was browsing through it, and he quotes many psukim in Tanakh to show the source. So maybe in Achnami there is something to what you're saying. Okay, now the farshner's point. I want to think is that this pasuk tells us it echoes the yisoid of Chazal that the Satan is the Yetzirah and is the Malach HaMavis. Who's Satan? Who Malach HaMavis? It's all the same. There's an inclination that entices a person to Navera. So you would think at least he should be your defender. If the Yetzirah is responsible for your sin, so you would expect at the very least that he should come to your defense in the next world and say, listen, don't hold him responsible, go easy, it was my fault, I'm the one that enticed him, convinced him to do the Avera. But yet the cruelty of the Satan is, the Satan himself is the one that stands as the accuser. Exactly. He goes and he's the Yetzirah, he's the Satan, and he's the Yetzirah, he gets you to do the Avera. And then after he gets you to do the Avera, he goes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, look Ribbono Shelom, look what this person did, he did this terrible Avera. Look what he did. And Hashem says, that's right, go get him. And then the Satan comes and brings punishment, is the Malach HaMavis. It's a double, a triple-edged sword. Okay, and that's exactly what it says over here in this pasuk. The pasuk goes on to say, it says here, in pasuk Gimel, Ki noifes titoif nasif sezara. Okay, first it goes on to say that the Satan, the pasuk Gimel, is delicious. The Satan comes to you in the form of honey. It's delicious. Oil, smooth oil. And then what happens? It gets the person to do the aver, v'achriso moro kilana, chadak harfios, and ragalecho yordos moves. So the second pasuk dalet, says it's now acts as the... It acts as the Satan by being a cheref pios, the cheref pios. It acts as an accusing angel in heaven by telling, look what this person did. This person went and he did an avera, and now he deserves to be perforated with a double-edged sword. And then indeed in pasuk hey, it acts as the Malach HaMavis, where Ragleha, its legs, or the legs of this Pito Yordos Mavis, actually take the person into the grave, actually take the person into death, and Sheol Tseodecha Yismochu, the strides of this, of the Pito, is what brings the person close to again. So the Satan over here is acting in three roles. He's acting in Pasek Gimel as the Yetzirah, it's sweet. He's acting in Pasek Dalet as the prosecuting angel, and that is alluded to in the Cheref Pios. Pios also has come from sort of a peh. I think that's what Chazal say. Lashon of a peh. Pios means a peh. It's a double mouth. First, it spoke. It's delicious. It's sweet to sin. And now, all of a sudden, it's talking a different language in Shemayim. It opens up its mouth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and says, look at this Russia. Look at the sin that it did. Instead of the Satan coming to defend the person and saying, it's not his fault, it's my fault. I'm the one that was mefata the person to sin, and now turns its peg. It twists its mouth and accused the person before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then Hashem says, you're right. Go and punish. It now comes down, Raglecha Yor, takes the person into the grave, brings the person with its strides close to the grave. So it's a very powerful chazal. This chazal, who Yetzahara, who don't think when a person doesn't have air, that's what always a person thinks in his mind. Listen, it's hard. I have a Yetzahara. I have to talk Lashon Hara. And I'll be okay. I'll have a good defense. I'll have a good defense because it was just, you know, it's hard for me. It's hard for me to do, and it's geschmack. Adarab, realize the riches of the Yetzirah. That geschmack is going itself to be the accusing angel, the prosecutor, that's going to come and kill you. Yeah.
The word gezima could mean plan.
Plan, yeah.
Plan. So what you're saying is, be careful because
he has a
plan.
Ah, very
he's
good.
He's going to give you something sweet.
And he's going
to... And it's going to become bitter, and he'll take you straight to... You
know, right.
If you go to the wrong doctor, he gives you a sweet medicine that has a bitter aftertaste, and ends you end up in the morgue.
Joan Rivers.
For many people, that's sweet also.
All right. So, Enoch and Ami, this is a very powerful chazal. Made an impression on me. Okay, let's go to another. Now we go to the next pasuk. Pasuk vav orachayim pentifaleis nohu naagloi sechol lo siddus. A hard pasuk. The simple interpretation of the pasuk is, according to the Mitzudos, we are continuing to discuss the way of the zona. Okay, I know it's confusing because yesterday I told you the medrash, the chazal that compared pasuk vav to pasuk chavav back in Perek Dalet, where there it was a general description discussing the ways of life. A person should not be a chacham. Don't try to make cheshbonos, calculations, which mitzvah is more choshev, more important than the other. Okay, we'll come to that interpretation in a few moments. We'll come back to that in a moment. But right now, on a very similar level, we are continuing to describe the pitui of the zona. The harlot is trying to entice this innocent man to be nichshol in sin. So the pasuk says, this woman is not a wise woman. If she was a wise woman, she would not be involved in this profession, in this business, in this venture, because orachayim pen tefales. Penny refers to her, the woman. She's not a woman who takes life seriously. The ways of life, the pen in this context is not translated. It's not translated the way you would. Pen means, we would assume it means it's a command. Pen means do not. I warn you. I'm giving you an ashara. But that's not the way the Mitzvah translates it here, at least a similar level. It means, pen means, not as a warning, but she does not. Pen tefales. She is not gesundheit, clever enough to weigh serious matters of life. Realizing to be mechashev, to calculate the suffering a person will undergo for doing an avera. A person should always calculate what he's going to lose when he does an avera and what he will gain when he is oimed b'nisayon. She does not have the ability to make this calculation. Nohu magloi seha. Her steps are, she's off the derech. Worse than waver. Nohu means to wander, it means to deviate. She has deviated from the road of life that takes you to Olam Haba. Lo Seda, she lacks the knowledge, the intellect to make the proper decisions in life. So why in the world would you want to be involved with such a person? When in life you always want to go to a person who's wise, who has chokhmah, and can give you proper hadracha what to do. This woman, anyone that's involved in such a business, in such a life, is a lost soul. So why, what?
That's what he's saying. If you go away from Chachma and you go after these
low lives,
physical attraction. Yeah. The honey, this is no. It's not logical.
Exactly. So this here's the point. This woman is being mefateh. Mefateh means she's convincing this person. The person, no person on a whim, on impulse, will be nichshol in an eishes ish. It takes a lot of encouragement. It takes a lot of convincing for this person to be nichshol. She has to sweet talk him. She has to talk to him again and again. Like the Chazal here also connect this to Yosef and Eishes Potiphar. Yosef came to visit, came to the master of Potiphar. It didn't happen overnight that Yosef was just about, it was about to be nichshol with Eishes Potiphar. This was a long term a process. Yosef worked for Potiphar. One time he saw her. Another time she spoke to him. Another time every time that Yosef came to do work over a very long period of time, she kept on attempting to be mephias him to entice him to do an avera, and he listened. He listened to her to the point where Vayavo Lasis Molachto, where Chazal tell us that he was willing. He was just about ready to do the Avera. So Yosef, or people that are in this situation, are taking the advice of a person. Now you have to stop. Why in the world would you listen to this person? If you come and you discuss your finances, which stocks to invest, you wouldn't go to a shaita. What does he know about the market? What does he know about business? Excellent. As much as anyone else knows. The shaita.
As much as anyone else knows.
They always have, my father was an economist, always have Titus on their father. They always have complaints on economists. How come they're not rich? Economists is, yeah, I've never seen an economist that's very successful. But they study the economy. Shouldn't they be the ones that know how the market works, know how to invest wisely and become multimillionaires? And yet the Mitzvah is all of the most successful economists who won Nobel Prizes they're not billionaires. They're just ordinary people. So, v'loy lachachonim lechem. Okay, we have over here this idea that the woman over here is attempting to be mephias. So there is enticement, there is dialogue, there is discussion, there is debate. Should I be nichshol? Should I not do the avera? I want to do the avera, but I know it's wrong. And who's giving you advice? The woman. The woman. The pasuk here says, in one whole pasuk, the woman is a shaita. The woman lacks intelligence. So why in the world do you even allow yourself to engage in dialogue with this woman? That's what the pasuk is saying. Orachayim pentafales. She is lacking the ability to weigh serious things in life. Nohu magloisel. Her steps, her path in life has been dislodged. She's off the derech. She's not part of society. Lo seda. She doesn't have any intelligence. So what are you doing talking to her? What are you doing listening to her?
She may not have spiritual intelligence or righteousness. It doesn't mean she's not have an intelligence.
But it's telling you that it's a foolish thing that she's telling you to do. She's not a woman, because this is going to lead a person to Gehenna. Right. So that's the warning that Shlomo here is coming to give at the end of his discussion about the Isha Zona, according to the interpretation of the Mitzudah stuff. Let's see inside Vav, Pasuk Vav. Orachayim Rotzu Lomar. Achochmas. Okay, no, this is... Wait a minute, I made it, Orachai means the way of life, means the wisdom of Torah. This Zona lacks Torah knowledge. She lacks the Chochmas HaTorah, Pen Tefales, Pen Tiyasher Lidome Silecha, do not. Now here, according to the Mitzvah, this is a command. I told you that it's not a command. Okay, I made a mistake where I told you another perush. Maybe I told you something that I saw in the Mamlo. It's Mamlois. He has like 10 perushim, very pasik. He goes through a long series of perushim, all the different mahalchim and perushim, and then he has all the footnotes telling you where it comes from. So it could be I'm confusing you with something that it said there. But at least according to the Mitzvah, let's take it one step at a time. He says here, Pen Tiyasher Lidome Silecha, I'm giving you a warning. Do not attempt Tiyasher lihidamosilach. So here the word Mitzudos is not translating the word tefalis to weigh. This is consistent with the way the word, how the Mitzudos translate the word tefalis back in Pasuk Vav in the previous parak. They also, he did not translate it to weigh. It was Rashi that said the word tefalis means to weigh. According to the Mitzudos, just simply means tiyasher. It means do not attempt to go straight. And he lihidamosilach to connect. He translates it, do not attempt to connect yourself with Orachayim Pentefalates. Let's just get one more line. Nohu Dalucha. Now here explains in more detail the Mitzudos. Dalucha. You should be aware, Shlomo says. Ki Nohu Hama'agoloi Shalah Min Orachayim. Her steps, her way of life has been removed from the path of life. Min orachayim, no hamagolos shalom. Magolos means her steps have been, her way has been uprooted from the Torah. V'rochaku mimena, and therefore I'm warning you, distance yourself from her. V'lo seida lohem shum dimyon, don't attempt, that's the ben tefales, don't try to connect yourself to her. Shum dimyon v'hashva, ki lo korav zeh el zeh, because coming close, one coming close to the other, her way of life does not come near the way of life of the Torah. Okay, I'm not exactly sure that, but from the Mamloes, the way I translate is really the impression I got from the Mamloes. It ties a bit into the Mitzudas as well. Is Orachayim Pentefales, don't Pentefales. Let's just translate the way I said before, that pentafalis is that the way of, she is not capable of making any decisions with regard to the way of life, the way of Torah, because nohu maglesecha lo seida, she does not have this knowledge, and therefore, what are you doing going near her? What are you doing engaging with her in dialogue? Okay, well, I think Rashi is going to explain this as well. Again, we'll see Rashi. Rashi first gives a medrash, and then he gives a pshat. Rashi pasuk vav orachayim pentefales kach darshu chachamim. Okay, so first we're coming to a drasha. This is not the literal translation. Whenever Rashi says something like this, it's not a literal translation. Silsila kadosh baruch hu matan scharon shel mitzvos v'loy pirshan. The Torah no maglosecha means silsel. He's translating the word silsel to mean to remove. To remove or better to hide. It's been concealed. Silsel in this context means it's been concealed. The magloisecha means literally the road, but in this context it means the reward. That's how Rashi is translating it. Silsel HaKadosh Baruch Hu matan scharen shal mitzvos v'loy perishan. Why? Kidei shlo yire other mitzvah shematan tzchar meruba. The person would know that certain mitzvahs have more reward than others, so he would only focus on the mitzvahs which have the most reward. V'yidabek ba, v'yaniach shor ha-mitzvahs, and the other mitzvahs would be abandoned, and then the world will come to an end. Because the world can only exist if all of the mitzvahs are observed. And if everyone is only going to focus on the mitzvahs which have the most reward, then the whole world would collapse. All of the commentators give the same mashal. So the mashal refers to a king which gave a command, and he told everyone to come to the orchard and they should plant different fruits. The orchard, in order for the orchard to be healthy, to exist, it needs every type of fruit. But the king really only enjoyed one type of fruit. It was only one type of melon, one type of fruit that he really enjoyed, and he was willing to pay the people who produced that particular food that he enjoyed, a very large sum of money. But if he would tell everyone which food that he wanted, which food he would pay the most money for, then everyone would only plant that fruit, and the orchard would be lacking in all of the other fruits. Now, if an orchard lacks one type of fruit, it has a trickle-down effect on the other fruits. A healthy orchard nourishes, one fruit nourishes off the other, even though there's a shal of kalayim. Okay, we don't mean where it's mamish in proximity, or where it's being yonik one from the other, but just the general environment of having multiple foods is beneficial for society. Like you see that certain types of communities, you have different types of groups of people, Everyone is different. Everyone thinks different. Everyone has different hashkafa. But there's a certain healthy environment where you have different groups of people interacting with one another. If you have a yeshiva, I know people complain about this. I know this was true in my day, and I heard someone complain about this. When I went to high school, we had an hour class. We had an hour class, all different types of people. There were people that were came from very modern homes. There were people whose parents were in Kollel, and there were people whose parents were somewhere in between. All different types. And it was a very healthy type of environment where everyone would share, would learn from the other. Today, I'm told, is that it's all the same. And when it's all the same, there's something that's actually lacking. They actually wrote up an article. I was reading in Ami magazine. They have an article. There were two issues they were discussing. No child should be left behind. This issue with children today, there's a very big problem. There are a lot of children in elementary school and high school that can't get into a school. There are not enough schools to get into, or not all the schools want to take all the different types. So they had a whole article discussed. Then they had another article where they interviewed Rabbi Ehrenreich. Rabbi Ehrenreich is the principal of the Beit Yaakov in Borough Park. It's one of the biggest Beit Yaakovs in the country. And it was a fantastic interview with him. And then they had someone who wrote a letter. A woman wrote a letter. Rabbi Ehrenreich writes that he has students who are now 70 years old. He started teaching when he was in his 20s. So his oldest graduates are 70 years old. So the following week, a woman wrote, "I'm one of those graduates who is almost 70 years old." And she went on to praise Rabbi Ehrenreich, everything he did. And then she says that today, unfortunately, the school is not the way it used to be. When I was there 50 years ago, or even more than 50 years ago, she writes all the different, I don't even know these different groups of Hasidim. I had in my class girls who were from Belz and from Vizhnitz and from Babov and this type of girl, that type of girl. She listed a whole variety, and we all went to each other's weddings, and we're all in contact with each other today. And it was very healthy. She describes in this letter how it was very healthy, where we were exposed to a different type of lifestyle. And he says, today, all of my friends, so my friend who came from a Belza family, she sends her children to Belza Moistais. My friend who I grew up with, who was from a Vizhnitz family, she sends her children to Vizhnitz. And Satna to Satna, and to this one, this one to that one. And
that's
no.
Because it was small enough.
Exactly. All right. It's because everyone has enough of themselves, 100%. So there's normal. But she says it's not a healthy thing. It's not a healthy thing where you're not exposed to other types of life.
It's inbreeding.
Right.
It's just like Brooklyn.
Yeah.
As a newcomer to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Every other community I've been in, which is all small in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
The minute you walk into a shul for the first time, five people ask you to dinner.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to come to Shabbos. Here, no one ever asks you. If you don't already know them, no invitation.
It's true.
Okay. Yeah. But it's a healthy thing. It's a healthy thing to have exposure to other things. So here, the marshal is as follows. We have a king. The king, he likes apples. That's what he likes. Listen, that's each his own. He likes pineapples. But an orchard, here's the mashal. If you have an orchard just of apples, the apples are stale. The apples become stale. That's just the way it is. In order for the apples to taste good, it should be delicious, the orchard has to have a variety of fruits. Even though you'll tell me this kalayim, right? No, it's not kalayim. Kalayim is where the mamish within a certain dalat amis, whatever, there's just 16 amis, 32 amis. There are certain rules for the rules of kalayim. But if something, just because, but if, as long as it's not a violation of kalayim, it's healthy. For there to be 16 amos away from the apples, there should be some peaches, there should be some oranges, and that somehow enhances the development of the apples. But if the king, who personally loves apples, will only tell people, guess what, I want to tell my subjects I love apples, the whole orchard will be filled with apples, and there'll be no watermelons. There's going to be no peaches, and then the apples are going to suffer. So what does the king have to do? The king has to say, I'm not telling you what I like. You guess. Everyone should guess. Everyone will then come and... Everyone will then come and plant all different types of things so that the king will then have his apples. So what is the nimshol? HaKadosh Baruch Hu are tayag mitzvos. In every generation, there is a specific mitzvah we might not be aware of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees is essential for the survival of Klal Yisrael. There are tayag mitzvos, but in certain generations there are certain specific mitzvos due to circumstance, due to the environment, what's happening in the world, that are essential for the world's existence, the Klal Yisrael. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will then reveal that in this generation, in the year, in the secular year 2014, it's essential that there should be this specific mitzvah, then everyone will abandon all of the other mitzvos in this generation, only focus on the particular mitzvah we need for the survival, and then 20 years from now, when time passes, and we're going to then need for the next generation to focus on a different mitzvah, the whole infrastructure for that new mitzvah will be gone, because the whole world will have abandoned what was not essential for this generation. So therefore Hashem does not reveal to us what's choshev for Him, what's important for Him in a specific period of time, so that we should maintain the infrastructure of all of the tayag mitzvos, even though in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's insight, certain things are not critical at a certain period of time for the survival of Klal Yisrael, for the purpose of creation, whatever this means in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind, and therefore, so that we should do everything, so when the time comes, it will everything will be in place. So that's exactly how we interpret this pasuk here. Ora chayim pentefales. Hashem says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, don't measure. Pentefales means Hashem did not. Means, let's read it one more time. Silz HaKadosh Baruch Hu matan tzcharan shel mitzvah. So I'm reading the Rashi. V'loi perishan. Kedei shelo yir oda mitzvah sheman tzchar meruba. Person should not see a mitzvah which is very valuable. Yidabek v'vini chashar mitzvahs. V'zep eshroinai. Here is the key, the translation of the words. Kedei shelo tefales orchai sator. So a person should not weigh. Rashi here is lishitosay in this medrash. Tefales means to weigh. A person should not start saying, in this generation, this is the mitzvah that is important. Eze likach the eizo lohaniach. Which mitzvah you should take hold of, which mitzvah you should abandon. Lekach, therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want the man to make these calculations. Therefore, you have to add this word into the pshat, the pasuk, to make sense out of the pasuk according to Rashi. Lekach, therefore, nohu magloi secha. Nohu means hinia. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused it to be hidden. He was hister. He caused it to be driven away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nisivoy seha, its path, meaning its reward, its need for the times. V'lo hodiyam, and did not make it aware. So one more time, the pasuk orechayim pentefales. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want man. Pen did not want man to weigh mitzvos, to decide what's important, what's not important, because that would cause a person to take hold of only mitzvos which are essential at the time, and therefore nohu magloi secha, Hashem hid the reward of the mitzvos, what's essential, slo seda, to the degree where it's not known, so man would be groping in the darkness, not to know what is important to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and have no choice but to perfect every single mitzvah, because there will come a point in time in the history of the world where every single mitzvah will have its day in the sun. Just like we have a tradition that every single person has his time. Every person in his lifetime, there's a time when he takes the limelight, he especially, it's shown that he is needed. Likewise, in the history of the world, there's a tkufa for every single mitzvah where people can see b'poyel how choshev this mitzvah is and how essential it is for the world. Okay, then Rashi goes on and he says, Zeu medrash agada. That is the drasha. Aval if he said amikra shakos of achrav. Now he's going to give us the pshutai shel mikra. Harchek me'olecha aval if he said amikra shakos of achrav. But according to shel mikra, we're going to read it as follows. He's now jumping ahead the pasuk ches. Okay, let's just jump pasuk ches for one moment. Charchik meolecha dirachecha v'lestikra v'lpesach besa. We're referring again to the zona, and the pasuk is warning us to stay far away from her ways. Don't come near her home. Nire shadayin lahifsik binyan ha'isha zona. From pasuk ches, it appears that we have not yet finished discussing the ways of the zona, and therefore we have a right to assume that pasuk vav is a continuation of warning how to deal with the zona. V'chein yesh l'farish orech t'chayim pentefales al tishkol orech chayim etzel oisa zara. Don't debate important things in life with the zona. Don't go to this zona and say, let's talk about life. Is it proper for me to sin with you, or better not? What's your opinion? Tell me your opinion on the matter. Loimar, to say to the woman, Ezolaso, zo zo, should I be mezaner with you or not? Don't do that. Ki ma'aglois hazona nohu l'sho, because the steps of the zona lead you to the grave. Nohu means they turn you to the grave. Whatever she says is the wrong thing. She'll tell you to do this, that's only going to cause you to leave the proper path and turn to the grave. V'lo seide li zoher, you're not going to know how to be careful. Ara sher tanua l'tipol, until you turn, you make a mistake and you fall into the grave. Okay, so this is the pshat in the pasuk. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Okay, next pasuk. Yeah. The medrash. Oh, so it's a contradictory.
Yeah.
That's what we discussed yesterday. Pasuk Chavav says Palis Magal Ra'il Palis. You should weigh the mitzvahs. You should determine which mitzvah is choshev and which mitzvah is not choshev. And that's how Chazal, we had this is the Gemara. The Gemara asked this question, and the Gemara says the mitzvah she'efsha ayde acherim. It's a mitzvah she'efsha. We are given to some degree an understanding of which mitzvahs are more chashev.
Not necessarily. You don't have that. Rashi explains in Chavav that when you want to do a mitzvah, don't figure out is this mitzvah worth it or not.
Yeah. Just do it, right?
But doesn't compare it to a road of which mitzvah to do.
Mitzvah habol yad chayav.
You have a bunch of mitzvahs. You have to live life. You do it. You don't stop thinking, I'll do this, I'll do this.
Right. Okay.
The Chavav is saying, you have a mitzvah to do, so you start making a cheshbon. You know what?
It says you should make a cheshbon. You should make a cheshbon, says there.
But on the one mitzvah that you're going to do, you make a cheshbon. You see, how much better is it to do than not to do?
Okay, right.
The one thing,
you should make the calculation. Hefsid mitzvah keneged schara. Right.
So,
when you have the mitzvah, when you have
a mitzvah, for example, you pick the nicham abel or whatever it is. So you shouldn't start. You should take the mitzvah and look at your chayv and say, maybe it's a little difficult, but the end result is
it's kedai. That type of calculation, you should make a calculation when the shayla is not doing it versus doing it. Not doing it versus doing it, weigh the mitzvah and realize how much you will gain from doing the mitzvah by, against not doing the mitzvah.
What's not doing the mitzvah mean? You can do something else. You are weighing one against another.
No, you don't have anything you're weighing it against.
No, but when it comes to doing multiple mitzvahs, I'll only do one mitzvah and not do another mitzvah. When you want to make a choice between various mitzvahs to decide which one to do and which one not to do, don't do that. Do them all. Do all the mitzvahs. Don't devote yourself to doing one particular mitzvah at the expense of not doing another mitzvah. Do all the mitzvahs. But when the question is to do a mitzvah versus doing nothing, then you should make the calculation that if I'm not going to do the mitzvah, I'm going to lose out in the next world and in this world. Something along those lines. Okay, but the other...
That
Chazal say, Chashev hefsid mitzvah keneged schara. So that is the calculation. The Chazal actually use the term to make calculation of losing the mitzvah. Yeah, so the Chazal actually tell you to make calculation of what you're going to gain by not doing a mitzvah. But when the question is multiple mitzvahs, then don't start saying this mitzvah is more important than that mitzvah. All of the mitzvahs are equally important in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one approach. The other approach that we mentioned yesterday is that if someone else can do the mitzvah, like the example we gave of doing gemilas chasad, you want to go deliver food packages. What is the alternative? If I'm not going to live through packages, I'm going to learn a parak of Mishnayos. So Chazal tell us the Talmud Torah keneged kulam. There is nothing more chashav than learning Torah. So I'm weighing. I'm making the decision. I'm gonna do this mitzvah Talmud Torah at the expense of not doing the mitzvah of gemilas chasadim. When do you have a right to make that calculation? If it's efshar al yidei acherim. If you're not going to deliver the food package and someone else will do it in your stead, then you should make that calculation. Pales, you shall weigh. Talmud Torah is more chashuv. I will learn the perek of Mishnayos and let my friend who's not going to learn the Mishnayos, he will deliver the food package. But if no one's going to deliver the food package and my other friend's going to starve, then don't make cheshbonos and don't say it's more important for me to learn Torah than to do chesed. Don't make that cheshbon. You don't really know how important your Talmud Torah is. You should deliver the food package. Right, it's Iyavshar.
But then you're making the cheshbon and that one is more important than this.
The cheshbon is only for yourself. When it affects someone else, it's Iyavshar, you have to finesse it in the right words. If the mitzvah is going to be bottle, if the Talmud Torah is not a mitzvah that's bottle, it's a mitzvah of just doing more. Talmud Torah is not something that you have mitzvah chiyuvis. You have to go do it every single second. You learn Torah when you have an opportunity to learn Torah. You learn Torah. Now I have an opportunity to learn Torah, but it's going to be at the expense of not doing another mitzvah. Well, if that mitzvah is efshar al yidei acherim, then we apply pasuk chav of pales or achayim. That's right. Make a calculation. Talmud Torah is more chashuv. Learn Torah and let someone else do the mitzvah of gemilas chasadim. But if no one is going to do the mitzvah of gemilas chasadim, you can still say, listen, Talmud Torah is more important. I don't care, so no one will do. Here we say, since it's efshar al yidei acherim, orachayim, pentifales. Don't make that calculation. Do the mitzvah that will not be done by someone else. That's what the Gemara really says. That is the parish of the Gemara. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. V'yata vanim shimuli, my children. One of the very important, very little medrash I came across. This is a very nice idea. There are two mitzvahs which the Torah does give us reward. We mentioned this yesterday, the mitzvah of Shiluch HaKein and the mitzvah of Kibud Avoein, Manit Avloch V'Harachto Yamin. All the other mitzvahs, the Torah does not tell us the reward, which one is more chashev, which one is not chashev. So the commentators, they plug this into the pasuk. Hanistarois LaHashem Elokeinu V'Haniglohos Lanu Ulevoneinu. All the mitzvahs, 611 mitzvahs are nistaros, are hidden. We don't know the reward. We don't know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us in this generation, in this tkufa. Ha-nistaros la-shem elokeinu. Va-ha-niglos, there are two niglos that we know about. Lanu, shluch ha-kein, ki-yikari katzipar lefonecha, u-levoneinu, the mitzvah that's upon our children. What is their mitzvah? To give us kavod. Kibud avoein. So lanu ulevoneinu is a reference for shiluach hakein and kibud avoein. That v'haniglos lanu ulevoneinu ad olam. That we know. Those two mitzvahs we know about. Leman yitav lach v'harach tayam. Everything else, nu. That's nistaros. Those are LaHashem Elokeinu. Arich Hashem is Yom Shekula Oruch. Leman Yitav Lach Olam Hazeh, Leman Taharach Tayamim BeYom Shekula Oruch in Olam Haba.
It also stands out. There are dots on top of this.
11 dots. Why are there 11 dots? I have no idea. What's this? 11 dots. Someone has said the 11 dots. Someone said the 11 dots correspond to the 11 Arurim in Parshas Kisavo. Parashas Kisavo, before the Teichacha, it says Ora Shaloyah Asher puts up a pesel b'seiser, has the various arayos, lives with his mother, with his mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, all of those things. There are 11 arurim. So someone is saying that the dots on Nistaros Hashem Elokeinu correspond. Why? Because Rav Schwab says this, is that why does the Torah give 11 curses? What's unique about these 11 things? So he says that they're hidden. That's a little bit difficult because you have to really see why are they all of them, read them very carefully, are they really all hidden? But he says they are. The nature of those 11 sins that the Torah gives a curse are things that you can walk around in the street and no one would ever know. All of the mitzvahs in the Torah you can't get away with. to some degree they're gonna find out. The NSA is gonna let the world know. But these eleven items in the Torah are true mitzvos, which are nistaros, and that's why they deserve a special curse. And corresponding to those, it makes sense why there are 11 dots. Hanistaros la Hashem ul Hashem Elokeinu, 11 dots on those two words. Okay, now we come to Pasuk Zayin V'atov Anam Shemali. So according to Rashi, the Pshush HaMikra, we are continuing the discussion of the Zona. Listen to me. He repeats this command many times. V'alta sudum imrifiyan, do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Harchik Pasuk Ches, harchik mi'oleha, Dirachecha, distance from upon her your way. Make sure you stay far away from the zona. V'altik ravel pesach beisa, do not come close to the pesach of her, to the opening of her home. Chazal darshness in reference to a nazir and to eshes paitifar. To nazir, we tell them you're not allowed to drink a product of the vine. Sechor. Toimar l'nazir, something along those lines, we tell the nazir, better take a circuitous route than a direct path. Stay far away from the vineyard. If you'll come near the vineyard, you'll smell the fragrance of the vine, and you'll be inclined to be nichshol in eating grapes. And we say this in davening every single day. V'loli dei nisayon, v'loli dei vizayon. Why do we ask Hashem to stay away from the Sionos? Because in all likelihood, 99% of the time, we failed in the Sion. So it's not in our interest that we should be having in the Sion. Because you could say, Hashem, just lowly zay bizayon. I'm a strong person. I can handle all the Sionos, and I will overcome it. No. Don't trust yourself for one moment. Better not come into a situation where you have a nisayon, because if you come lidei nisayon, it's very likely you will come lidei bizayon. And that theme is expressed in this pasuk: harchik me'alecha darkecha, stay far away. V'altigravel pesach beisah, and certainly it goes without saying, don't go near the opening of beisah, of the home of the zona. I'm going there to look. They did construction on her home. I want to go see the paint job. I want to see the new shingles. I want to see the new windows. I'm not going there because I want to talk to her. I just want to see what's doing. Going with Pesach Besa is l'day nisan, which will bring l'day v'zoyan. And that's what Chazal criticized Yosef. V'hi hayoin, v'yavoy el beisoy, la'asoy smelachto. He went el beiso to his home to do his work. What work always is melacha? So in one interpretation, Chazal, he wanted to be nichshol with Eishes Batifar. What are you going to his bias? What are you going there for? What el beiso? So Yosef was going to do the Avera. Can you really accuse Yosef at Tzadik? He outright was willing to do the Avera? No. He convinced himself, I'm only going El Beso. I'm only going to the bias to see what's doing. I'm the accountant. I gotta see what's doing in the house. No, the Torah tells us with Yer L'Sev Daito that Al Tikrav El Pesach Besa. Because if you're going to come to the bias, the Pesach Besa, Loli Dei Nisoyin V'Loli Dei Bizoyon, it will end up by Lassay Smolachto, end up, it's a euphemism, will end up doing the Avera with the Eishes Petifa. What?
The image of Yaakov Avinu.
That was what saved him. That's what saved at the very last moment. The Demus Yikna Yaakov Avinu appeared b'chaloyin along the window, and that's what saved him. But let's go further. Harchi melacha darkecha v'altikar el pesach beis. Let's see the mitzvahs pasuk zayin and ches v'yata. Okay, the key word here is the word. A lot of the commentators, they focus on the word v'yata. What is the word v'yata doing? And now what? What have we just said? What have we learned in the past that warrants this strong word v'ata? Musav l'mal loymar. So the Mitzvah very simply says, going backwards, Hoy l'shmatem shagam David, u'shmatem shagam David avi his he reini b'dvar mo'ele im ki hayisi chaviv lo, being that my father. Okay, this is a very powerful idea because it explains why there is no repetition. Before we go further, the Mitzvah is coming to address a very simple question. There's too much redundancy in Mishlei. Okay, that goes without saying. There's no redundancy, just our lack of understanding. But this really takes the cake because we started here with Pasuk Aleph. Pasuk Aleph, it says, Bini, my child, L'chachmasi hakshiva, L'sunasi hat oznecha, L'shmar mezimais v'das sifasecha yintas. So we already had the introduction of Bini, my child, listen to me. So what's Nachamol? It's only 7 sukkim later. Nachamol, you have to say Nachamol. Bonim shimu levi al tesubim refi. There's too much repetition. So the Mitzudos comes to the rescue with an amazing idea. Is a Pasik Aleph is David talking to Shlomo. And Pasik Zayin is Shlomo talking to Rechavam or to his other children. We're dealing with a different father, different son. And that explains why it says the word viata. Now that I've revealed to you that my father, what he has taught me, and my father was, and I was a precious, and like we mentioned this last week, that I had a healthy upbringing. The reason why my father told this to me was because my father loved me. He didn't want me to be nichshel, even though he gave me everything good. He gave me everything the world had to offer, but he still wanted to prevent me from being nichshel and avera, and he only did it for my benefit. So certainly you, my children, it's certainly a lesson, which is true. It's MS, and therefore what I'm passing on now to the next generation is 100% MS, and should not be discarded. That's how the Mitzvah story of Pshan the Pasuk Yata, Muslim Lama Loimar, Hoyel Ushmatem, you have heard, I've revealed to you that my father taught me this lesson. Shagam David Avi, his Sirani Midvar Moela. He warned me with regard to these matters not to be nichshol within our aisles. Im ki hayisi chaviv lo, even though I was very precious to him, I was precious to him. And my father only wanted the best for me. He wanted me to enjoy life to the fullest. Yet he told me this is not called an enjoyment. Having dealings with zonos is not called enjoying life to the other countries where this is legal. This is a way of life. It's a maila to have a collection of women. There are third world countries that this is the mitzias. And over here saying that's not called enjoying life. My father gave me everything this world has to offer, but he told me that this is sinful to do such a terrible thing. Lezos atem bini, therefore atem bini kel chai. My children, I'm not sure what that means there. Shimuli, Lizos, therefore, Atem Bini, Kelchai means Hashem, and maybe I swear, Bini Kelchai, I swear by Hashem's name, Shimuli, listen to me. It's not because I'm cruel. I want to deny from you the pleasures of this world. Chas v'shalom, I want you to enjoy this world. But this is not called an enjoyment. This will only lead to sin. Rashi, Pasuk Ches Me'olecha, Min Azara Ha'amor L'mala, stay away from this evil woman. Pasuk Zayin in Rashi. Rashi does not say anything, just a quotation. V'yata banim shimuli v'yal tasub mimrifi. Okay, Rashi does not comment. I don't know the answer. I don't know. Maybe it's a continuation of the previous. Asher Tevi Dipol. I don't know. There must be an answer.
It happened as well the other day. He also made a quote from a apostle, but he said
okay, let's go one pasuk. Pentite lachem hardecha. He's warning that what is going to happen. Okay, before you go further, there's one important thing I left out. Okay, there's a little harchik mi'olecha the medrash. The medrash says that when it says here harchik mi'olecha dirachecha, v'al tikra v'al pesach besa. Besides the pshudah shavuot that we are discussing arayos. The medrash says dirachecha is a minus. A person should stay away zu minus. Sha'im lo liyadam, a person, the apikorsim, tell a person to go off the derech. And when the pasuk concludes, v'al tikra v'al pesach besa, that refers to, give me one second, I lost it. Rishus, to stay away from the government. stay away. What it says in Pirkei Avos, don't come close to politicians. They only like you when they need you, and then when they're finished with you, they spit you out. Okay, give me 1 second. Let's quote you the exact words. The Medrash, very interesting Medrash. Here it is. Okay, it's not a Medrash. So Gemara Navot Dazor Daf Yud Zayin. Harchek mi'olecha derachecha v'altikav el Pesach Beisa. The Gemara says Harchek mi'olecha derachecha zominus. This is apikorsis. V'altikav el Pesach Beisa zo harishus. Don't go near the opening of its door. Don't climb over the fence of the White House and try to get in. Even though you'll be able to pass 6 levels of security and only be taken down by a Secret Service officer who was off duty. Read the article. It was off duty. What? Hachnosas Orchem. Hachnosas Orchem. Okay, it's so funny. You know, this struck a chord because exactly where he jumped over only how many weeks ago was it? In the summer, my brother took his kids on a trip. What was the trip? Was he at 3 miles? On his car, so they went to Washington for like Ben Hazmanim. So they drove one way, and the 3 miles they flew. Okay, the whole trip was the excitement of going on a plane for the first time. These little kids. So they went to the White House, and they just sent me one picture showing me of their trip. And they show he has twins. They're standing exactly that gate. And they're looking at the White House with their little toy cameras taking pictures of the White House. Exactly in that location was where this guy jumped over and went through 6 layers. Al tikrav al Pesach Beisa. Don't go near her home, Michelle. Don't go near. Stay away. Stay away from Michelle. Pesach Beisa. No, I didn't say that. Okay. Al tikrav al Pesach Beisa. Zo harishus. Zo harishus. What? All right, let's not get into trouble yet. Zo harishus. This is stay away from the government. Ikud yami. Some say hachik. Some say zo harchek me'olecha derachecha means both derachecha loshen rabin derachecha your way zo haminus v'horishos v'al tikav al Pesach Beisa zo zona. That refers to the Pshusha Mekra, stay away from the Pesach Beisa zo zona. Now by the way, over here in the Sefer Divrei Hayamim, he has a lot of very interesting footnotes. What is minus? This is a side point. What is a min? So the Olam says min is Rosh Tevos mitalmida mitalmide Yeshu Hanotzri. I'm sure you've all heard that. That's a min. From the students of, anyone that's from the students of Yeshu Hanotzri. Yoshka. Mitalmide Yeshu Hanotzri. We've heard that many times. So he goes on to say that cannot be the pshat. Because from Chazal, it's clear as day that minim were deniers of Torah Min HaShemayim, were deniers of Olam Haba, and were deniers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashkacha Pratis. And the Talmidim of Yeshu HaNotzri, although they were Rishoyim, Kaifrim, but they were not deniers that of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they were not deniers that Torah Min HaShemayim. They had a false understanding of that Mashiach already came, and Hashem exchanged us for another nation, the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael. But the basic Yisoides of Yadus, at least the original Minim, the original Talmidim of Yeshu HaNotzri, were not in denial of.
Well, that's not
true,
even. They
don't
call themselves.
Right, that's right. We call it Tehinot. So this expression that is fluent in the mouths of many people, Mitalmida Yeshua Notri, does not really fit well with the way the word Min is used in the Gemara, because there are numerous references in the Talmud where it's clear that a Min is a denier in the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam and Tarmin HaShemayim and Hashkacha Pratis, and that does not fit the description with all of the rishis of the Talmud. The does not fit their description. Okay, then when he discusses of Rishus, he says,
that's only, you know, you have to know when the first time that's being used.
How it's
tomorrow,
been used.
When the Mishnah is for written over hundreds of years.
Yeah.
When it could have been already the 4th or 5th century.
Oh, so then it's already different. Okay. So you have to look at the context. When it was, okay, so this is interesting. This is the point he makes.
Right.
Then he just says something very interesting about Rishus. Who's the one that said this? Maim Chazal? Of really, it's in Perkei Avos. Rabbeinu, it's a mission of Perkei Avos. Rabbeinu HaKadosh says a person should be careful berushos, the government, because they only come close to a person when they need them. And in Perkei Avos, the one who said this statement, Havu Zehirim Birushos, it's Rabbi Gamliel Beno Shel Yehuda Hanasi. This was Rabbi Gamliel, the one that the author of that actual statement in Perkei Avos was Rabbi Gamliel. Why Rabbi Gamliel? Because there was a Maisa where Antoninos sent a bucket of gold coins to Rabbeinu HaKadosh as a gift. Antoninos used to learn B'chavusa with Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So at one point he sent him a gift. So Rabbeinu HaKadosh said, I don't need it. I'm the Nasi. I have plenty of money. It's not necessary to send me such a lavish gift. So he said to him, I'm not giving it to you. I'm giving it to you that you should give to your children, because the day is going to come when my children are going to demand taxes from your children. So you should have now. I'm giving you in advance. I'm gonna have you'll have the money that I'm giving you now is basically gonna be what you're gonna be required to give back to me in the next generations. I want to save you from that. So Rabbi Gamliel was the son of Rabbeinu Yehuda HaNasi. He was the one that had indeed to give back this money as taxes to the Romans, who were no longer favorable to the Jews in the next generation. So therefore he said, Havizoha Birushos, be careful, because even though in the previous generation by my father, they were very good terms, my father, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbeinu Yehuda HaNasi, was very close with Antoninos, but look at me now. Look at the next generation. The next generation now, they're coming to collect, demand taxes, which are unfair, and I have to pay out the taxes. So he was the one who felt the sting of what it meant to be close to the government. It was maybe good in the previous generation, but over time it spoils and turns sour. All right, we'll stop over here.